broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and, well, we go places other talk shows wish they could, but they can't. And if you don't believe us, ask them. And pay a visit as well to our website, philhendryshow.com. You can watch our live streaming video of the show right now. In fact, if you're watching live streaming video of our show right now, you see me with our remote camera on the 1937 Nuremberg rally. Why? I don't know. You know.
It looks pretty good, though.
It does look really good. We're going to be talking about a number of things this evening. One of them will be Rick Perry's entry into the presidential race as a Republican. And we'll have Jay Sandus of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on to talk with us about that. In a moment, we're going to have Larry Grover on from Conservatives of Kern County to review the straw poll that took place in Iowa this past weekend. Our affiliate spotlight, as we do each and every night, we put our affiliate spotlight on a couple of great affiliates, WMGG in Tampa, Tampa, Florida, and KCPS Burlington, Iowa, where they just had that straw poll. And we thank you. And those are a couple of great stations on the Phil Hendry Show network. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com. We're having a look-alike contest right now, and all it is if you go and you look at the picture on our homepage at our website, philhendryshow.com, it's also the icon, I guess you call it, they call it the avatar, the profile pic, however you want to, whatever you want to call it, that I use on Twitter. And if you look at that picture, it's a fairly simple picture, but I guess it affected some people, or it was some kind of synchronistic, iconic touchstone of a picture. People were sending me images of themselves, because in it I'm wearing what?
We got a ski cap.
I got a ski cap on. It says Silver Strand Beach on it, and I'm wearing a shirt, and I'm sitting, and there's a door open behind me. And I had people sending me pictures, so I said, well, look, why don't we have a look-alike contest, and you can send me your picture of yourself in a, you know, looking like Phil. So you send it to us at Twitter. Just go over to Twitter and send it directly to Real Phil Hendry at Twitter. And then we will put those pictures on our website, on the home page of our website. And on Saturday, we will announce a winner. It's as simple as that. Just go to Twitter and send us a picture of yourself. It's a look-alike contest. You got to look as close as you can to me. Yes, women are welcome, but I don't know why they wouldn't be.
A woman that can look like you at all.
That one gal, Joe, she sent a picture, okay?
She ain't got no beard. But a bearded lady.
I don't have to have a beard. If a woman's going to send a picture in, I guess we can say we don't expect a beard. All right? Looking alike is not exactly, you know, you don't have to, I don't know how to explain this to you, bud. You don't have to look like somebody to look like somebody. Know what I mean?
No.
Thank you. All right. I didn't think you would.
Well, I don't even know what you mean.
I don't think I know what I mean, but I think I do know what I mean. All right, our number is 87. So anyway, do that, and you'll know what I mean. Jeez.
But I just don't think it's clear.
Oh, come on, man, it's clear. All right, 877-876-7445. Larry Grover has just returned from Iowa. Larry is the chairman of Conservatives of Kern County, and long weekend, Larry, huh?
A very long weekend, Phil. I think we've got an opportunity, though, to break free the conservative viewpoint in the Republican Party. I think that we have some very viable people there. I think that Ron Paul, regardless of whether he won or lost, is still going to be informing the philosophy of the Republican Party from the conservative standpoint. And I, for one, say good on you, Congressman Paul. Thank goodness we've got him there keeping us philosophically centered. Rick Perry's entry into the race is going to stimulate even more of the conservative base. And I think he's got a very interesting take on the gay situation. There's no question it's going to be a very, I think it's going to be an issue that we're going to have to deal with one way or the other in a much better way. And Governor Perry is using the state's rights, I think.
What do you think of that?
Well, I know what you think of it. You don't like it.
Only from the civil rights standpoint that it was used during the civil rights campaign, and it was not a good argument.
You know, I don't necessarily agree with that. We'd have to get into that a little bit more. But I think all in all, it was a good straw. I'm only 2 minutes into this. I don't want to immediately start jumping into what's wrong.
No, I don't either. I just, when I heard about the states' rights argument for gay rights, it reminded me that that was exactly the argument used by the southern states opposing civil rights. So it seems to me that that can cut either way. But you're right. I don't want to talk about that. I did, however, I had the news story, unless you have it, Larry.
Well, the straw poll story, I don't have it at hand, but yeah, I do. As a matter of fact, here it is. I will say this, Phil. History shows a straw poll win hardly guarantees future success in the state of Iowa nationwide. I'll give an example of that. In 2007, next Massachusetts Governor Mitt Romney. I can't say that name. Mitt Romney.
It's Mitt Romney.
I know, but I have a... For some reason, I got a mental block. It's Mitt Romney. I want to say Mitt Romney. Mitt Romney. That's interesting.
Mitt, you can't say Mitt Romney?
I've got a mental block. I can only say Mitt Romney. But the governor, let's call him just Governor Mitt, you know.
All right, Governor Mitt Romney.
He won the vote, but this closest rival in the state, former Arkansas Governor Mike Huckabee, ultimately won the Iowa caucuses, and he dealt the final blow to Romney's candidacy. So I think that, you know, this is going to be a, and that gets me to Michelle Bachmann, who was going in our big hope as a conservative. I don't think there is a candidate up there that was as electable as Michelle Bachmann with the conservative credentials that she had. And I am, as of last night, I was on the phone, and I think the young man that you have working for you, this young Mr. Rance, was going to get the name of somebody.
I don't know. Hey, Rance, did you get the name of any of the press people? We did ask, and we'll find it. It's not as easy as you might think, because they don't...
to get the name of at least the individual that was traveling with her, because what happened on Saturday obviously is the end of her campaign, and it is the fault clearly of this man. I've got a name, Dave Zayak and Debbie Keller. Does that match with what you have?
I've got those names.
Okay, I don't know what their rank is. I don't know if one of them is the overall...
I don't either. They were traveling with the congresswoman. They are press people. What is important about their names?
Well, what is important about their names? Let me tell you what's important about their names. I'm a conservative. That's why I call my group the Conservatives of Kern County. Michelle Bachmann went into a crowd of supporters in Iowa on Saturday, and with her press people standing there, was allowed to take one of these amusements that they've got. It's a corn dog.
Oh, you're talking about the corn dog photo?
Hold on for a minute. She was allowed by these press people that she has, these handlers, who are supposed to know a little something about image, and she was allowed to grab a hold of a corn dog and then stick this thing into her mouth, and you've seen the results. And I've seen you showing them on your broadcast, and I've seen you laughing and joking and thinking that it's very funny. And
no, I have not laughed. I've been off the air talking about this, and we will go ahead and show it on our video cast of...
That's the photograph that you were showing, and it's the end of her candidacy.
I think that we're being a little childish here.
Well, no, I'm not being childish. I'm not being childish. The media was childish with it.
And I think that we can move past Congresswoman Bachmann putting that corn dog in her mouth the way that she did.
All right, and then we have her husband, who looks, forgive me, you know the rumors, Mr. Henry, you have been one of the individuals who has been, you for whatever reason, you want to keep this Marcus Bachmann question of his sexuality uppermost in the minds of the public. I don't know why.
And I think it's important because of her stand on gay rights. I think if you have a stand on gay rights that is opposed to gay marriage, opposed to areas of rights for gay people, and it's possible that you're married to a gay man, I think this is a question that needs, there's some investigation to be done here. What are your real feelings? Why do you feel the way you do? What is the dynamic in your marriage? What does your husband think of all this? I mean, I think that there are a million and one questions that can be asked. Okay.
All right. Right there, there's the picture.
Yeah, we have the picture of Marcus Bachmann. Now, this is him. I said to Jace before the show, it looks as if it's very hot, and he's trying to take a small bite because it's really hot.
He looks like he's pretending he doesn't like something like that's shaped like that. That's what he's doing. You're being I can't believe you were the one that was saying.
I'm not willing to attribute that to him.
Well, you were the one that was saying this guy's in the closet, weren't you?
Yes, I was saying he was in the closet. It doesn't mean that he knows he's in the closet and he doesn't want to make it look like he's gay, so he's making it look like he doesn't like corn dogs? Is that what you're saying?
That, to me, is very credible. You were the one that brought it up. I started thinking about it, and I thought that's very possible. Now, put the other picture up, if you wouldn't mind. Picture two in the exhibit.
You know, you were giving me a hard time about these pictures. Now you want to see the other picture. There's the other one, okay?
Now, I'm not giving you a hard time. I want to show you what wrecked her campaign. And what wrecked her campaign is this photograph of her. The eyes have a look as if they are saying, I've done this before. The mouth is open to an extent that she's aware that there is a thing called a gag reflex. And she is almost perfunctory and by the book in what she's doing there, looking almost bored. I think that it is absolutely wrong of Debbie Keeler.
Debbie Keller is her name, and I think you're really, really jumping out in front of something here that's going to give a couple of hardworking people a bad name.
I'm going to say this again, Phil. You have somebody like Michelle Bachmann running for president. There are a lot of people that don't like this lady, and you allow her to go ahead and grab a corn dog and go ahead and just, you know, open your mouth up and let's get some pictures, guys. Let's get some pictures of the congresswoman as she struggles with and awkwardly tries to put her mouth on a corn dog. There, go ahead, get some pictures. I can't believe it. And I'm telling you now, it has ruined her campaign, and she has these press people to blame for it.
Alice Stewart is the press secretary for Bachmann. She was on site during the corn dog incident.
Well, she ought to be fired. Fired for letting this picture be taken and having this woman, who is a great conservative, put in this position. And
all right, hold on, please, if you wouldn't mind, Larry Grover, conservatives of Kern County. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And it's obvious that we are talking about something. It's emotional from the standpoint of Mr. Grover, who is a conservative and believes that Michelle Bachmann was the real conservative hope in this race. Has this corn dog photograph sunk her candidacy? I personally think that her candidacy wasn't going anywhere anyway. The corn dog incident is just one more bit of falderal, if you will, that they're going to start throwing at her and making fun of her for. Let's find out. 877-876-PHIL. We have Larry Grover on the line with us to talk about not only the corn dog photo of Michelle Bachmann, but the corn dog photo of her husband, Marcus Bachmann. And you're going to want to talk about that, Larry, huh?
That one hurts from a couple of standpoints.
All right, hold on. We'll be right back on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
My wife.
You get yelling about it.
Oh, I'm sorry if I yelled too much about the bump. I like the bumper music that we had. I guess I was just...
Yeah, you yelled. So now we're going with, like, folk music and stuff.
Well, I like the rock and roll bumper music.
You really want us to bring it back?
I mean, some of it, yeah.
Jeez.
Well, I'm sorry.
Yeah, first you're saying, yeah, then you're...
I'm sorry, all right? 877-876-PHIL. Larry Grover back with us here back in California. Larry was in Ames. He was throughout Iowa with the Michelle Bachmann campaign. We're talking about the what you say is the end of the only viable conservative candidate. You can't see yourself supporting Rick Perry, huh?
Perry's a Johnny come lately, and I don't think he's been in the trenches really fighting the conservative fight like Michelle Bachmann. The other thing, of course, is now she's become, not only is her candidacy not viable, but she now raises questions as to her own integrity, because, you know, as we said, Bill, I'm talking about these press people. All right, let's talk about press people. That's fine. But why did she make the decision, knowing that there were people with cameras around, knowing that as soon as she opened her mouth the way she did, and again, there's a rather lazy look on her face, And forgive me for saying this, Phil, but the look on her face as she starts to, you know, I don't want to say what we used to say, with she's deep-sixing it. And
what do you mean deep-sixing it?
Well, I'm sorry, whatever you want to call that.
She's eating a corn dog.
All right, I mean, but it to me, it has a look of what we used to call it in high school. Well, not in high school, they used to say it, deep-six. But what I'm trying to say is this. She has this look on her face of bored resignation, like she's done this a million times. You can see that she's got her mouth positioned in such a way so as to avoid the gag reflex. There's a look on her face of, you know, another day and another, you know, another day and another deep six. I can't get around.
Well, what are you saying? First you said it was the press people.
I'm saying that there was a breakdown in the decision-making in the Bachmann campaign for her to go ahead and get this picture. And I'm not saying Michelle Bachmann wanted to have her picture today. I'm saying that Michelle Bachmann couldn't wait. She didn't have the common courtesy and decency to wait until the photographers were out of the area before she had her corn dog and before she sticks it in there.
Everything you're saying and the way that you're putting it makes her look much worse than she does.
In what way am I putting it?
Well, the way she sticks it in there, and her deep six in it, and all of this.
Look, Bill, I didn't go up to her and say, "How about a corn dog, Michelle?" And her eyes light up like she's a pinball machine or a slot machine in Vegas. She goes, "Oh, okay."
And how do you know her eyes lit up?
Because you can see the right there. It's almost as if she was a woman dying of thirst, and she's getting her first drink of water. Like, yeah. I'm sorry.
What a absolutely crude and rude thing to say.
I'm sorry, but I have been angry all night because, as I said, but for some judgment, we had a very good candidate. Not only does she not have good press people, but there she is, without any judgment at all, saying, I forget about my campaign. Forget about all the months and the years that I worked. Forget about all of the people that support me back home. Forget about all the things I believe in. Here is a corn dog, something that's long. Okay, you can, you know. And then, like someone dying of thirst, you can see it on her face. Yeah. Like that, okay? You don't like the way I put it?
I think it's childish the way you put it.
Why? You don't? I'm putting it the only way I can, Phil.
Well, what's with the sound effect? Oh, yeah.
I'm approximating what it sounds like if you are satisfied with something like that going into your mouth. I don't know, do you? And
you know, you have been on the topic of this now for a great many minutes as to what it is, and
I'm telling you that photograph that's a devastating picture. And
all right, well, but you're saying the picture, everything in that picture is on purpose. Everything in that...
No, it's not like she said, get a photographer so they can take my picture. I'm saying it's on purpose because she's got a look on her face like this is something that's got to get done by noon every day. It's almost as if it's on her daily schedule. That's why I wanted to talk to this woman, Keeler.
Her name's Keller, and you're not going to talk to... What are you going to talk to her about?
I'm going to talk to this woman, Keller.
Yeah, but what are you going to talk to her about?
I want to know what is on the congresswoman's schedule that makes it so important for her to take something that, like that, and put it in her mouth. If you want to force it out of me. And I want to ask her why it is she's got, was there anyone there to keep her from this display of, yeah, which is what we're calling it. And
every time you do your little impression there, you realize it makes things look worse.
In what way?
Because you're sounding stupid.
Well, you know what, Phil? I'm not Michelle Bachmann. I didn't take a corn dog and say, hey, boys, get a shot of this. I didn't do that. I'm not Marcus Bachmann or whatever that guy's name is. And hey, guys, get a shot of this one. I'm saying it like it is. I'm angry. She has destroyed the hopes of conservatives across this country with her little act. She has... I can't for the life of me understand what was on her mind. But I will tell you this much, I thought she stood for family values. I understand now that she doesn't, and now we need a family value candidate.
I know you're emotional about it, okay?
Yes, I'm emotional.
But every time you go, like that, It makes it into a comedy sketch.
Oh, Mr. Henry, I didn't turn this. She turned it. You look at the picture. You look at that. It's like she's... I don't know how else to put it.
You don't have to put it anyway, okay? We're going to be back here with Larry Grover and your phone calls, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Also, Chris Norton, an aspiring filmmaker from Hermosa Beach, will be on the air with us as well.
Call the Patriot Hotline now, 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
World famous Phil Henry Show, and we're here every night until 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast. I've got on the line with me Larry Grover from Conservatives of Kern County. Larry is back in Southern California, where he is a resident from Ames, Iowa. We will have Chris Norton on the line. Mr. Norton is a telemarketer as well as an aspiring filmmaker, and I should say adult filmmaker, because this is pretty much part and parcel of what we want to talk with him about. The conservative of movement, and Larry, I want to get you back on the line here before we talk with Chris. The conservative candidate for president of the United States, it looks like it's now going to be Rick Perry. So how many people care that Michelle Bachmann has shot herself in the foot here?
Well, I mean, I think that, and I'm going to, what are you doing, Mother? Okay, hold on a minute. My mother wants to say something. I know what she wants to say. And I, hold on, please, Mother. I know what she wants to say, and I know, more importantly, what she wants to do. And I am asking you, Mr. Henry, not to have her on the air, because she's going to try to embarrass me. And
all right, well, I won't do that, okay?
She wants to talk.
Yes, dear.
No, I wanted to demonstrate what Larry was talking about. Here, hold on.
Demonstrate what?
Hold on.
Oh, Mother, she wants to demonstrate the gag reflex. I think this is so wrong.
Come on. Now, Mrs. Grover, please, all right? What was the point of your mind? You know, we didn't need that, okay?
I told her. Mr. Henry says they don't need that.
Yeah, well, she's a slut. I'm joking.
You give me that back. Oh, gee.
I don't like them anyway. I like cucumbers.
She slobbers a cucumber. She's wrecked every pickle in the place. And for what? What's the purpose of this, Mother?
Go ahead. Go talk, Mr.
No. I'm not going to go talk to Mr. Henry now that you've embarrassed me in front of millions of people. What's the purpose of you gagging that cucumber and every pickle known to every Christian soul on this block? What's the purpose?
Good night.
Mother, don't be passive-aggressive. What's the purpose of you slobbering that cucumber?
Larry?
Hold on.
Larry?
Yes.
Forget it, will you?
She slobbered up a cucumber and every pickle known to any Christian soul.
Forget it, okay? Your mother's a little off, all right?
But the point is, she thinks she proved something because she gags a pickle and Michelle...
What it makes Michelle Bachmann. I don't even know if anybody's paying any attention. Because, as I said, does anybody give a damn about this woman now that Rick Perry's in the race?
Well, I gave a damn. I gave a damn. I cared about the candidacy of Michelle Bachmann, but with Rick Perry in the race, she's dead. She's dead. She is. He's going to roll over top of her. And why? Because she couldn't keep something out of her mouth like that, and on top of it, she couldn't keep it out of her mouth, and she couldn't keep away from a photographer while she was keeping it, while she put it in which she placed, while she put it.
Didn't get
it. Shut up, Mother. Well, she put it in her mouth. And
all right, well, the more we talk about this, the worse it is for her.
No, it can't be any worse for her, because this has been on every Twitter feed, every comics joke. Jay Leno, you know, I haven't watched the Leno show yet, but I'm sure it'll be on here on the West Coast in a little bit. And Jay Leno will have, are you telling me it's going to be all corn dog all the time on that show? Why?
Larry, Phil, he's really, really hurting.
He sounds like he's in pain.
He really is. He went all out for Michelle. I think she did it. I agree with Larry. And he didn't want to believe me. Well, look at this, Phil. This is a plastic pickle.
All right, this is very, very, this is unbecoming, and it's not very ladylike, okay?
Well, Phil, this is politics. Hold on. I can't do it. And the fact she got that down her throat,
give me the phone, will you please?
This is juvenile, all right? That Michelle Bachmann, whatever the corndog incident represents, with regard to her husband, I'm sure that the campaign will get over it, and she can re-steady herself. I don't think it's hurt her.
Well, I mean, she, you know, if Perry, she won't win another.
All right, let me get on the line here. We have, I disagree with you. On the line with me is Chris Norton from Redondo Beach, Redondo Beach, California, said Hermosa. Chris, how are you? How are you doing?
Yes, sir. I'm doing really good.
And, Chris, you are a telemarketer, correct?
Yes, sir. I work for a pharmaceutical company in Hermosa Beach, California.
And Larry Grover is with Conservatives of Kern County?
Yes, sir.
How are you?
Yes, sir. I'm fine.
And, Chris, you have made an offer to Michelle Bachmann, which I know is not going to go over well with my other guest here, to appear in a film.
Yes, sir, we have. It's called, based on the old TV show, A's Enough. It's called A's Not Enough. And what it basically is, my sister, Pam, is a producer. And my sister, along with some other investor, would be producer of this.
And what is the name of this?
A's Not Enough.
A is not enough?
No, A is not enough.
Eight is not enough.
Eight is not enough. And you're going to have the candidate for President of the United States, Michelle Bachmann, you think, would even, what makes you think she'd even take your phone call?
Well, I mean, I think she would take my phone call because now she is pretty much out of this presidential race, and she's going to have to go back to Minnesota with her tail between her legs. And I don't think, you know, I mean, and she's out of politics. And
this is good.
Why do you think she's out of politics?
Well, I think it's a pretty compromising photograph to show her all just, you know, taking one down like that. And the fact of the matter is that many of the things that Mrs. Grover said, that there is no evident gag reflex. The fact that she's looks like she's comfortable with it, just like, you know, a slide in, what we call in the business a slide in.
And what do you mean a slide in? What is that?
It's pretty much when you're just told at a minute's notice, get down to the studio, because we gotta move one in.
Uh-huh.
Move one in and...
You're talking about a corn dog, I understand.
I'm sure that you've watched porn.
No, I do not watch pornography, sir. No, I do not.
Well, that isn't true, Larry.
Please get away from me, Mother. Would you get away from me? And I hate to say to my own mother, get away from me, okay?
Wow.
You're talking to your own mother that way for?
You know why? Because she came over here, grabbed the phone, and said that isn't true. When have I ever watched pornography?
You had Jennifer here.
That was a movie she brought herself.
Oh, my God, Larry. That's so unfair of you. Let me tell you, it was an anal...
Okay, I don't want to hear any of this. Get your mother out of there. The last time you were on the air with me, she got the phone...
Want you in the room. God, get away from me!
Mr. Norton, go ahead. Larry, I want you to just take a breather, maybe get a glass of water while I talk to Chris Norton.
What's that?
Take a breather or get away from the phone while I talk to Chris Norton. Eight is not enough. I will restate the question that Mr. Grover asked, and I think it's a very good question, Chris. What makes you think Michelle Bachmann is going to take your phone call?
Well, I think a couple of reasons. Like I said, she right now it's going to be in demand. And if it's not with me, it's going to be somebody else.
Why is she in demand?
I think based on these photographs that we saw, there is, as I said, there's a comfort level. There is a, she's probably, I wouldn't say perform, but I think she's familiar with the slide, the Texas slide at least.
The slide and the Texas slide. I don't know these terms. I don't think my audience understands these terms.
These are adult film terms. They're used in the film business. I think she knows the slide. She's probably been able, I think, once or twice, has probably done a gimlet or a goblet. And I think, I
don't know these terms either. So in other words, what you're
these are all adult film terms.
Well, yeah, gimlet and goblet, what is that?
It has to do with, you know, what she's doing. And
so in other words, you believe she's extremely familiar with all of this, and she could claim her own price.
I think, yeah. And A Is Not Enough is a film that we were ready to go in production on. I mean, we were doing a film that my sister was going to produce, Cecil Alani, Ruth Sissy Sis. And that was going to be...
What was it again?
Sexuality on Route 66.
And Sexuality on Route 66.
Yes, sir.
And this was going to be produced by your sister?
Yeah, that is correct, yeah. So my sister saw this and said we should get Michelle Bachman because it looked like she could probably do an Esther special. It's an excellent opportunity for her to do some Esther special in a movie, you know.
All right, well, Larry, you got a comment?
I'm getting a glass of water. Well, you told me to go over and get a glass of water. I don't know.
So you have no comment, huh?
My comment is what I said. My comment's what I said. You know, I realize that Michelle Bachman is of a lower moral order. I realize that she has shown herself to be a, excuse me for saying this, Congresswoman, but any woman that would allow herself to be photographed that way is a tramp.
Oh, God, Larry.
Please get away from me, Mother. Hold on. Please get away from me, Mother.
Oh, God, Larry.
Get away from me, Mother. Any woman that would allow her... Get away from me. And close your robe, please. Close your robe, please. Oh, man, I'm going to hurt somebody.
What's going on?
Wow, it sounds interesting. This is Chris Norton. Could I talk to your mother?
No, you may not talk to my mother.
I want to talk to the young man.
Close your robe. Close your robe. I swear to God.
Excuse me, Larry. You know, we need to get back to this. Whatever your mother's doing...
We'll get back to this. Put some clothes on. She's taking her robe off.
Can I speak with your mother right now?
Yeah. You want to talk to a porn producer? Huh?
Yes.
Hi, I'm Chris Norton, and I produce porn.
Uh-huh.
Well, I mean, what about it?
Wait a minute. Are those my car keys?
Yeah.
What are you doing with them?
I threw the car keys out in the front lawn. Now she's out in the front lawn with no clothes on looking for her car keys.
What is going on with your mother? You need to call an ambulance.
For me?
No, for her. What do you mean for you? For her. If she's out on the front lawn with no clothes on?
I'm going to call an ambulance, Mother.
Hi.
Yeah, she doesn't care. I would say that we've got problems, and...
I'd say you got problems.
Yeah, it sounds like you got problems, okay.
Well, Mr. Norton, my mother's not going to be in any movie that you're going to produce.
Oh, I know that. I mean, I thought maybe she could fluff.
She could what?
Fluff her.
Oh, come on, will you? Can we get this back to a family-oriented place?
This hasn't been a family-oriented place. Since you brought on that corn dog, all bets have been off.
All right. I wish you all of the luck in the world, Larry.
Well, I got my mother's nude out on the front lawn, okay?
That's where your problems lie, okay? Not with Michelle Bachman and a corn dog. You got bigger fish to fry, man, if you pardon the expression. And good luck to you, Mr. Norton, in your endeavors, okay?
Well, the movie's called A Is Not Enough, and it's produced by my sister, Pam Norton. And hopefully Michelle Bachman will be in it, but maybe if you get Larry's mom.
You're not going to have my mother in your movie.
All right. I mean, I just... Right at this point, we're up against a deadline, you know.
Okay, well, good luck casting that.
Well, I know, but I mean, I gotta if we put out a phone number.
No, I don't want to put any phone numbers out, and I don't want anybody using my radio show, you know, to cast their porn movie. So there you go, Michelle Bachman.
She eats a corn dog, and there's a guy making a movie, and another guy's got to put his butter in that house.
Well, I mean, you know, that's true. That's true.
Yeah.
It's true. She eats a corn dog, and a woman's going to a nut house, and some guy's got an idea for a porn film. And then, of course, there is the Marcus Bachman. I think here's what's happening, and we can give a 100% take on this after the break. Michelle Bachman never really had a national base of support, and what this has done with the question surrounding her husband. Basically showing her not to be a viable candidate, not because of anything she did, but hers has always been a very awkward candidacy. There's always too much that they have to explain, always a statement that she makes that doesn't jibe with reality, always some comment she makes that doesn't jibe with the facts. They're always having to, you know, explain her. She is a forceful speaker. Very good. I saw her in that debate on the past week, Friday. It was very, very forceful speaker. She presents herself very well. But as Tim Pawlenty said, she misstates things. I don't know whether she does it on purpose, but she does make statements that are completely erroneous. And she's got a public relations problem from a lot of separate points of view. And this corn dog is just one of them. All right, I'm not saying she made a mistake, but it's just one more little piece of humor that people are going to use. All right, we're going to come back here on the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Next hour, Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police will be talking to us. He'll be talking to us about the Rick Perry candidacy. Adam Carolla supposedly in hot water over gay comments. You can't get in hot water anymore about anything you say because he's got a podcast. See? All right, we'll be back. The world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Radio for Patriots. Bye, Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show. To call the Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
All right, so anyway, we have next hour. What the hell was that?
You said you wanted to rock and roll back.
I don't know, man. Anyway, I don't know. You know what? Maybe I'm just burning out on bumper music. You know, everybody's got bumper music. Bumper music is the next best thing to having a show for some people, okay?
You just said you wanted to rock and roll back.
Yeah, I guess I do. I guess I prefer it a lot more to that crap we played at the beginning of the show. So here's what I'm trying to say about this Bachman. Number one, she was never any threat. And I know this to be a fact because she barely won that straw poll and she was working her ass off in Iowa. I don't know who told her that she was a viable candidate for the presidency. She never was. When she started making noises like she was going to run for president, I remember thinking, what is she thinking? This woman cannot win because she's an extremist. She, and not just an extremist in the Barry Goldwater sense, not an extremist. Barry Goldwater was perceived as an extremist, but he was a normal guy, as we came to find out. I don't know how normal this Bachman is. I'm telling you right now. And by that, I don't mean she's crazy. I just wonder if she's got a little bit too much going on from the neurosis standpoint. I don't know if she's got a facial twitch. I don't know if she kisses her hands five times and touches the door before she walks through it. You know, like...
What's that?
I don't know. Like, what do they call it? Obsessive compulsive disorder. You know, this migraine headache thing may have something to do with alien control.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking, too.
I'm kidding. Boy.
What do you mean alien control?
I'm joking. Like there's an alien out there just, woo, messing with her brain.
Yeah, I'm sure.
He's kidding around, man.
Yeah, but you believed it.
No, I didn't. I didn't believe it at all. I was trying to see whether or not you believe it.
No, I could tell by the look on your face.
Well, will you guys stop? So there's that. And I'm not saying that makes her a bad president, but the perception. Now there she is. All she needed was that corn dog. And why did I know that was going to happen? Why did I know she'd come out of Iowa with some stupid picture of her gobbing a corn dog? And then her husband with that look, I understand it's probably the look of a guy that's biting into a very hot piece of food, you know, something that maybe came out of a microwave. But he already has the very understandable question hovering over his head about his sexual orientation. Excuse me, but he does. And it is a valid question. It's a valid question because it's not so much that the man speaks in an effeminate way. It's that the man has devoted so much of his life and his time to trying to cure gay people, calling them barbarians, talking about their sinful nature, and also talking about, you know, it being on your mind a lot and it being in your thoughts a lot and you can't let that control you. I think that that's something that he does battle with. Now, that's just my, you know, me talking. I don't know anything, but that's me talking. Now, the corn dog going into the kisser, there is Anderson Cooper who probably...
Yeah, he probably knows a lot about it.
That was, you know, I was going to say.
He probably knows a lot about it.
Yes, I got it, okay?
Don't beat it into the ground, man.
Speaking of beating it into the ground...
Why, you dirty...
Watch, whoa. Don't do that with your hand. Anyway, so yeah, Anderson Cooper on CNN, who we have on every night just to see where the cutting-edge humor is. So he had some sort of a sketch, looked like something that either he did or his one of his adopted kids. But anyway, so she's got that. So that just automatically, now I know Newsweek took a cheap shot. Newsweek took the cheap shot. That was a bad shot, and they knew what they were doing. I don't buy that. The Newsweek, I went on record as saying Newsweek is a gaggle of lowlifes for doing that. You got a thing to do. I'm serious, man. You know, that's, first of all, I hate obvious tricks like that. Secondly, you should be beaten with horsehide. Thirdly, did you guys have the corn dog shot, I should say? No, you didn't. So you lost on all three counts, man. Some guy with the Iowa pepper rag or whatever, the Iowa bugle got it. All right, we'll be back. We've got Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. From the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. We want to thank Larry Grover for joining us. We will keep an eye on the Michelle Bachmann story. It's, I suspect it's one that, I'm not one for predictions, because every time I make a prediction, a lot of times I'm wrong. I'm just flat wrong, and I didn't used to be. And that's something I'll explain later, but... Michelle Bachmann's candidacy looks to be a goner, not because she,
not because she deep six one.
Yeah, not because she got one.
You know, why don't you guys put it a little more respectful, not because she deep sixed one, not because she was photographed in an embarrassing position. It looks to me as if her candidacy is gone, because I don't think she's got the guns, man. She just does not have, she's not good. She's just not good, and she's going to get her ass handed to her one of these days in one of these debates. You watch. You mark my words. All right, 877-876-PHIL. Joining us is Jay Sanders of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We ordinarily don't have you on, Jay, to talk about politics and much of what you do, and we should tell people what you do. You are a not volunteer. You don't like to be called a volunteer because that sounds amateurish. Tell me, in your own words, what the Citizens Auxiliary Police represents.
And I appreciate you allowing me to explain a little bit to the audience, because we do have a lot of people who misstate what Citizens Auxiliary Police is about. We are of our own volition out in the community morning, noon, night, 7 days a week, just taking a peek over the shoulder of the regular police, make sure that they are not overlooking areas of safety for the American people in our jurisdiction here in the South Bay.
And do you have a jurisdiction officially? I mean, this is the thing that people ask.
We have a jurisdiction. Of course we do. Every citizen has jurisdiction. We have jurisdiction. It's called a Constitution of the United States of America. If you've heard of it, I'm sure you have. That gives me jurisdiction to effect a citizen's arrest and to take a look and everything like this, make sure that things are being done right. And when I take a look at, for instance, the reason why we're coming on your program tonight and some of the other shows that I've been on, I've done three radio shows today. I'm going to do two more tomorrow. And the reason why people want to have us on and why we're in demand is right now, Rick Perry. And why am I on your program talking about Rick Perry? Well, Rick Perry is running for President of the United States. And that's okay. And I think he has every right to do that, unless, of course, you are talking openly about secession or, opposing the government or kind of deal like that.
And all right, well, Rick Perry's not openly talking about secession. He mentioned that once, and that was a number of years ago, and that was during, I believe, the Obama campaign, and it was during the last presidential campaign.
Well, we have a constitutional duty, each and every citizen, If someone is openly preaching sedition, is the word that I was looking for. If you know about it, the American history, you know about alien sedition aliens. And that was another law that they passed. And it's all about our people trying to overthrow the government. And I don't think Rick Perry's trying to overthrow the government, not in a million, billion, billions of years. But I do think that when he goes out in front of human beings that are just like him, just like you, just like me, look the same, talk the same, eat a lot of the same foods, and stand there and begins to talk about sedition and going against the government and everything, I have to take a look at that. Now, I can't take a look at it.
Wait. You haven't heard Rick Perry go out and talk in seditious terms. You haven't heard him go out and say, what do you call sedition?
When he said that he wanted to secede from America. When you're talking, I'll give you an example.
Well, that was a couple of years ago, okay?
Well, hold on for a minute, Phil. That was a couple of years ago. That was still wanted to secede. You know, he was speaking to a Tea Party crowd in Austin 2 years ago. He suggested secession may happen in the future if the federal government didn't change its fiscal policies. He said there's a lot of different scenarios. We got a great union. There's absolutely no reason to dissolve it. But if Washington continues to thumb their nose, the American people, you know, who knows what might come out of that? But Texas is a very unique place. We're a pretty independent lot to boot. And so I don't think, you know, I can, as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, I can't let it go. You know, I just can't let it go.
When you say you can't let it go, so a guy says secession, we got to look at that.
Right. As soon as he said that, that was an indicator to me on a front line of law enforcement that I got to keep an eye on this cookie. And, you know, what we call in a business turkey. It's not offensive. It's just a police officer say. So, you know, Rick Perry says, I want us to see it. I got to keep an eye on this turkey.
And well, that's a heck of a thing to call the governor of a state, this turkey. It's not like you're looking at a felon.
No, I understand that, Mr. Henry, but he has said something that is very weird and offbeat and off the charts and everything. And so that's a turkey. And like I said, you know, he goes from being the governor of a state to some turkey that I got to keep an eye on. That's, you know, it's going to be how it is.
And all right, we're talking with Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. Our number is 877-876 Phil. So I gave you the context, or you gave me the context. He was at a tea party in Austin.
That's correct.
And he said that the, you know, secession, this and that. He's now running for president of the United States. So I think we can assume that he no longer believes secession is an option and that he wants to be president of all people.
Well, it's, you know, maybe, but understand something, that we had a president who felt that secession was something that he couldn't do nothing about. That was James Buchanan, the president come in before Abraham Lincoln. This guy, Perry, I don't know who he is. He sounds like his you know, family loves him, his kids, you know, think he's great. They tell me he's the governor of a state. That's great. You know, he can do whatever he wants to do as long as he stays clear of me and keeps out of my way. What do I mean by that? I don't mean that I am going to disrespect him or anything, but Rick Perry can do whatever he wants to do, be governor, run for president, as long as he stays clear of me, gets out of my way, doesn't cause me a hard time, and doesn't go out there trying to rile people up and do secession and everything like this.
Do you believe he's serious about seceding?
I don't know, Phil. I would not be on a front line of law enforcement if I answered that question, yes or no. I don't know. I have to leave all options open.
Do you, as a man, as a citizen, and what are you going to do about that? At what point are you...
Well, I can't do anything about him. I can do things about the people that support him. And what that by that I mean this. If I see individuals on any given day, out and about, walking around, talking, you know, doing whatever it is they do, I've got to keep an eye on the look. Do they have what we call that Arlington Road look? Do they have the glasses and the, you know, the Army fatigue jacket, and although they've never really been in the military, that kind of thing, you know what I mean?
And no, I don't know what you mean. Now you're talking about average citizens.
I'm talking about people who show up at these Perry rallies who have that look on them like they want to maybe, you know, take them serious and everything like this about secede.
And that's what I'm saying. So we will go up to those people. We will, you know, ask them, you know, I know you're here for the Rick Perry rally, but do you really believe in, you know, seceding? And depending upon whether they give me one of those looks, you know, they roll their eyes. Well, that's all bets are off then.
And if they roll their eyes, well, you know, you and I have had these conversations before, Jay, okay?
Yeah, I know we have, Phil. I'm trying to be a little more specific.
No, we've always had these conversations. You go up to somebody, you ask them a question, and if they don't answer or they roll their eyes, you take that to mean that they are hiding something.
No, what we want to know is, are these people already know that Perry is going to do what Perry's going to do? And he's on notice, you know, stay out of my way, and we're good, you know, and everything's, you know, do whatever you want to do. But
well, what do you mean he's on notice, stay out of your way? He's running for president. If he says something about secede, which I don't think he will.
I don't either.
What are you going to do?
Well, I'm not really going to do anything about him, but I do want to take a look at the people that are there to support him, and if they've got that look like they are all mad and don't take it no more and... You know, they've got that look where they're just about ready to go kind of ballistic. Then we have to ask them the questions about, you know, do you believe in seceding from a union? Are you here for that? We have to get to those questions.
And if they say yes?
Well, I don't anticipate they would, Phil. People are going to lie. Why would they say yes?
Because you wanted an honest answer?
Well, if they actually are honest with me and they say, yes, we do, and I'm going to have to then... ask them to come with me. We will walk over to our van and get some more questions. You know, it escalates. And
so, in other words, you're gonna, if they say yes, I do believe in secession, that's a bad thing, and they are detained.
I don't like to call it detained. We have more questions. That's all.
All right, our number is 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and on the line with me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police. We're talking about Rick Perry's candidacy for the presidency. Jay finds the governor's statements about secession to be troubling, and as a member of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, he finds that seditious. However, it's the people that support Rick Perry. Are they looking to secede? Do they look like the type that would, et cetera, et cetera? This is another one of these areas that the Citizens Auxiliary Police gets into. We have a lot of questions about. We'll talk more with Jay Santos. The number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Are Rick Perry supporters potentially dangerous secessionists? I doubt it. We'll be back. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
There you go. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show. And if you're looking behind me, you see now a photograph of a fairly typical radio executive.
Uh-huh.
All right. On the line with me is Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police, as we've been talking here about the Rick Perry candidacy for a president. You know, Jay, I understand that you want to make sure that the country is safe. And
well, Phil, you're on his program here. You want me to come on his program and talk about what the Citizens Auxiliary Police is involved in.
Right, right.
And so we feel that Rick Perry's candidacy for president is a red flag.
Okay, no. I know that, and I take full responsibility for inviting you on the show. I'm curious about you detaining his supporters.
We're going to detain his supporters the same way we detain people who are going into, say, 18, people who looked as if they were going to take what they saw on that screen real serious. And anybody go to a Rick Perry rally and listen to him talking all this stuff about secede, and
which he hasn't talked about in 2 years.
Well, I don't know. I mean, have you been to every one of his rallies? He may have, he may not.
Well, I haven't heard anybody talking about him talking about that stuff, no.
Well, I mean, I hope not, you know, for Rick Perry's sake. I hope not, because...
Well, what if you heard him talking about that? Well, you wouldn't do anything?
If I heard Rick Perry?
Yeah, if you heard Rick Perry talking again about seceding from the Union, what would you do?
Well, it would be a very difficult thing, but we'd have to at some point go to his security people and say to them, you know, we've got a very serious situation, and we do need to talk to the governor at this particular time. And they would need to give us access, which time we would then go to the governor and say to him, we did hear you make certain statements. Were you, you know, are you standing by those? Was it something that you said in jest? Is it something you said about, you know, you're kidding or anything like this? And if he said no, I really do believe, I'd say, well, at this time then, we would like to speak to you over in the van, at which time we would take the governor into the van and, you know, then further question. And
now, you honestly believe the governor of Texas is going to go with you into some van?
Well, Phil, you've asked us these questions before. I've given you the answers. You know, we have our three-step takedown. We have a number of...
Yeah, I've heard about your three-step takedown, and I've heard about what you call the diversionary tactic, which is really nothing more than just saying, the way you described it to me, it sounds like you're just saying, hey, look, there's a bird, and the guy looks up, and you trip him or something.
Well, there's a little bit more to that, more to it than that, yeah.
All right. But I don't know how you get the governor of a state to come with you to a van to talk a little bit more about things that he said in a campaign for president. I just don't. 877-876-PHIL is the number. Here is Joey in Greensboro. Go ahead, Joey. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Yes, I think this is more about an issue of free speech. If the man believes that, then why can't he say it?
Well, there is a law against shouting fire in an empty theater.
Yeah,
okay.
There ain't no fire. Right?
Right.
If there's
right,
a fire,
exactly.
You're allowed to say it.
If there is a fire, you're allowed to say it in a crowded theater, not an empty theater. What
yeah.
he's doing is saying that there's no fire, but or he's saying that there is a fire, and there is a fire.
Well, there is a fire. The government's not
telling us.
Yes,
exactly. There is a fire, and he's not saying there is one. Okay? So that's at the crux of what we're saying, and that's at the meat of the potato, you know, the meat and potatoes of it. When he says that there's a fire in a crowded theater and there's nobody in the theater, what does that make him look like?
His beliefs. Whatever he's saying. That
Wait, what do you mean there's a fire in a theater and there's nobody in the theater? You mean shouting...
I meant a fire in a crowded theater.
Yeah.
But there is no fire.
Well, when you say there's no fire, this is what this man is saying. What about the man's constitutional beliefs?
Well, he's saying we got to secede. Okay. The last time somebody tried that, the whole thing, you know, there's a whole big war and everything. Don't you think that's a little stupid to say, yeah, hey, you know, let's go have a war?
If that's what it takes to keep our freedoms, yeah. If that's what it takes to keep the Constitution intact.
You can't keep the Constitution intact if you can't keep the Constitution intact if you let a guy go out there and say, you know, pull it out and take a leak on it. It's like Michelle Bachmann. Everybody's making a joke about her eating that corn dog, okay? Yeah. Well, I mean, in a lot of ways, she shouldn't have eaten that corn dog because that sort of mocks the process. See what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand how eating a corn dog...
What I'm saying is, but it wasn't eating a corn dog. It was allowing herself to be photographed eating that corn dog that way mocks the Constitution. And
what
Rick
way
Perry,
did she eat it? What way did she eat it?
Did you see the photograph? You didn't see the picture. It was very pornographic. And
it's not pornographic. It was a very awkward thing, Joey. She had a picture taken eating a corn dog. I don't know how you eat a corn dog without looking awkward,
yeah.
You know. And so there she was. She was at a state fair in Iowa, you know.
Well, all right, Mr. Henry, that sounded really good.
Well, look, she's not trying to eat it pornographically.
Whatever. But if Rick Perry goes out and says we all secede from a Union of America, that's the same thing as him taking a corn dog and, you know, doing something with it. I mean...
What, eating it?
Not for him. As a man, it would be the same as if he pulled his pants down and tried, you know, and started pointing the corn dog at his butt or something. It's the same thing. And that's what I'm trying to say to Joey and so I'm saying to everybody out there. Yeah, you know, we can't...
Not quite to me. It's not quite the same.
It's the same... It's the same.
If a man
Rick
can't
Perry
say
saying
what he believes, then the Constitution's not right. We're not following the Constitution.
If,
we got freedom of speech. We can say anything. But when we start to act upon anything is when we start breaking the law.
There you go. That's a very good way of saying it.
Okay. So you guys are telling me that if a guy like Rick Perry went to the Iowa Fair, took a corn dog, and then started going, ha, 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 pointing it at his butt, you don't think that's childish?
That might be childish. I don't understand. Did she do that, Phil?
No, she
did not do that, Joey. She was eating it. That's all she did. She just ate it, and it looked awkward.
I don't see nothing pornographic.
If you look at the picture, if you look at the picture of Michelle Bachmann eating that corn dog, her eyes are rolled back in her head like she's all,
Oh, you know something? You got a real dirty mind. Just as dirty as that last guy I talked to, Grover. All right, Joey, thank you very much.
I would ask Joey, though, you look at that picture of Michelle Bachmann, and then you call Mr. Henry back, and you tell me if that didn't give you a little bit of a, you know, question mark over your head about just the mental capacity of that woman. But I'll tell you right now.
Okay, all right, I'm sure he'll look for it. Thank you very much, Joey. 877-876-PHIL is the number, 877-876-7445. That you just said a whole bunch of stuff that's the dumbest thing I think I've ever heard.
What, who, me?
Yes, you! It's the same thing as shouting fire in a theater that isn't crowded. It's the same thing as not shouting fire in a crowded theater. You got that all screwed up.
No, I understand that, but I finally did understand.
No, then you said that taking a corn dog and pointing it at your rear end was the same thing as Michelle Bachmann eating one. You don't even know what it is you're talking about, and you need to get your thoughts organized.
Mr. Henry, I know exactly what I'm talking about. Boy, that's not fair.
Oh, all right, we'll be back. World famous Phil Henry Show, baby.
Phil Henry. Call the Patriot Hotline now. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
And we got Jay Santos on the line with us, Citizens Auxiliary Police. You don't really believe, Jay, if you're talking about, you know, Rick Perry and his candidacy for the presidency, that that man made a very good point that we just talked to. It's called free speech, okay?
Well, his free speech, or not, you know, you talk about his free speech, that's not kind of free speech that's going to get in the way. It's not going to get in the way of what we have to do with Citizens Auxiliary Police. You get a guy like Rick Perry, who's talking about secession, and he appeals to a certain person who's not familiar with how America works and is going to go out and dress themselves in a fatigue or, you know, dress up in these, as I mentioned when we were going out to see the A-team. You got an awful lot of people out there I mentioned the movie Arlington Road.
Yeah, I know what you mean, these domestic terrorists. Will you tell me that Rick Perry is all about that?
I think that there is a possibility that Rick Perry with his... I just... When we go to one of his rallies, I want to keep an eye on a lot of these people. And all I'm asking for is I don't want to get a whole lot of argument from them when I ask for an ID. I don't want to get...
Well, you don't get a whole lot of argument from people. You don't have any right to ask anybody for an ID anyway. You know that, right?
No, I don't know that.
Well, you're not a real cop.
I am cop enough to ask somebody for an ID.
Well, you're going to come up to... Let's say you walked up to me. I'm not going to give you my ID. I'm with the Citizens Auxiliary Police, huh?
We'd say, yeah, I've got a blue armband. What do you mean you're not going to give me your ID?
If you walk up to me with a blue armband and a pith helmet, which is what you guys wear, and you say, give me your ID because I'm at a Rick Perry rally, I'm not giving it to you.
Then we got a problem.
What kind of problem?
So you want to push to the, you want to have a physical altercation?
Well, I'd like to know what kind of physical altercation you're going to make it into.
We'll probably have to, at some point, do a three-step takedown, which is easy enough to do.
And the three-step takedown is what?
One step, we get behind you, the other officer distracts you, and we push you over the guy who has knelt down behind you. And
so a guy kneels down behind me, and you push me, and I fall over. That's
correct.
I mean, that's correct.
I mean, that's correct, yes. Well, I mean...
Well, that to me sounds... first of all, it sounds like assault.
No, it's not assault.
It sounds like assault. Secondly, it doesn't sound like, it, not only is it assault, secondly, it sounds like you're detaining me illegally. And thirdly, I can vote for anybody I want, and the guy can run for any office that he wants. Okay?
He can run for any office that he wants. He can do anything he wants to do, but he can't openly talk about having a secession and a Confederate States and all this stuff. And
he's not talking about the Confederate States. What he was talking about was the Tea Party, you know?
Well, that's the other thing, right. And that these people are going to, if possible, secede from the Union if they don't like the way the fiscal policy goes. All of this is a red flag, okay? Now, we've had in the last 48 hours somebody who tried to, I don't know what her problem was with that corn dog. We can talk about that later.
Oh, get off the corn dog, man. It's got nothing to do with, it has absolutely nothing to do with the strength of anybody's candidacy.
Like I said, we can talk about that later if you don't mind.
Well, I don't want to talk about it later. I want to talk about it now because the ridiculous decisions you're making inform what you do. If she's eating a corn, so she's eating a corn dog and Rick Perry wants to secede from the Union. What does that tell you?
We've got a problem with our leaders. We've got a real problem with our leaders. We've got people that we can't trust.
So there's a leadership problem, her eating a corn dog. I can tell you this. Like I said, if we go out and we act on these things and we, for instance, say, okay, I'm going to go fire on Fort Sumter or whatever the hell these guys did in the Civil War, that's against the law. But to say, well, I want to secede, or to say that we should replace the government with a different kind of government or replace our democracy with a different kind of government is not necessarily illegal. It is within our rights.
No, it is not within our rights. No, not if you're running for president.
Where are you getting your ideas, not if you're running for president?
Because it seems, it stands to reason, and give me that picture, Bill. It stands to reason that if you're running for president of the United States, that you have to stand on stuff that is legal and is right and is part of how presidents... Boy, you don't get it, do you?
No, I get it. I get it. You don't get it.
I think the voters consider Perry and Bachman not only incompetent, they're easily to cite to a violence, okay, a revolution, and we have to step in.
I haven't seen any violence. We haven't seen one bit of violence at all, ever, in the campaigns of Bachman and Perry.
What do you call a corn dog?
I don't call that violent. I don't call that violent. And I don't call Perry saying, we have to secede if the government doesn't respond to us. I don't call that violent. I think you're paranoid, and I think you're fishing in the wrong lake, or however you guys put that stuff.
Up a creek.
Up a creek without a paddle?
Right. That's where I am?
That's where you are right now, yeah.
Okay.
You suck. Get out of here. So Rick Perry, he's the guy that's going to run things, and because he wants to secede, and he doesn't want to secede, who knows? He probably, whatever he wants to do, man, you ain't got nothing to say about it, Jay. We'll be back on a world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. ACLU alleges a Colorado charter school got rid of a teacher because she pumped breast milk, and other really thrilling news.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. The Patriot Hotline, dial 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445.
Had a great time on our Saturday night show at KFI, our Saturday night video cast, and it's our video cast, man. It's our radio show. It's our local show in L.A. That show's lots of fun to do. Lots of fun to do, man. 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Here's an interesting story here. Adam Carolla in hot water. It says here, according to Sandra Gonzalez of the Entertainment Weekly, Adam Carolla in hot water over anti-gay comments. GLAD issues a statement. Now, here's where Sandra Gonzalez has got it wrong. Maybe there was a time when Adam Carolla would be in hot water over something he said if he still worked for that company, if he's still doing a radio show. He ain't in hot water for anything. What's he in hot water over? He does a podcast, you idiot. Do you understand? Sandra Gonzalez in Entertainment Weekly. He does a podcast. What hot water is he in? You think GLAAD is going to get a boycott going of his pot? Are you out of your mind? This is something that people go and willingly download. They willingly down. So what do you think GLAAD's going to do? Go over to iTunes and say, don't carry his podcast? There's podcast directory. There's a million other places where his podcast will be carried. You think GLAAD has got, you think they have that kind of pull? GLAAD and all of these other organizations have no pull in the world of the wide web. In the wide world of the web, of the wide, wide world of the internet web. You guys haven't got any pull there. You're not going to get anybody to boycott anything. What's next? All right, Adam Carolla has a comedy act that he does on stage. And there may be sponsors, and there may not. But here's the problem again. People pay to watch his comedy. They walk in the door to watch his comedy. And there are sponsors that want to align themselves with that. So whether or not he said something that is anti-gay, and I can clearly tell you right now, knowing the atmosphere and the environment, the reality of entertainment today, there's no way in hell that this guy came out and said something anti-gay and meant it. There's no way in hell. And I know all about GLAAD and their senses of humor over there and their ability to understand what satire is, and it doesn't exist. Well, the bottom line on this, therefore, is that he's not in any hot water with anybody. He's in hot water with GLAAD. And when Sandra Gonzalez at the Entertainment Weekly says that he's in hot water with GLAAD, and that's a very significant thing, it may be. And then again, it may not be. Like I said, there's no big company that employs him and hands him $1 million or $2 million a year to do his radio show. That's not happening. He's got a podcast. He's got a stand-up comedy act. He's got sponsorship from these people, and believe me when I tell you, the sponsors come and they go because, you know, it's the nature of that business. You have a sponsor for this particular night or this particular tour. You have a different sponsor for some other night, some other tour. In other words, the point that I'm making is the days of being in hot water over anything are gone, and the only person that makes the decision is the viewer or the listener. If they don't download the podcast and they don't listen to the message of, for instance, where he's going to be next week or where he's going to be tomorrow night or who is sponsoring this aspect of the tour, that aspect of the tour, if there's no warm bodies there to hear that, then you got a problem. But you aren't going to get people to boycott his podcast. This dude is doing downloads that are incredible, man. I don't know where he's at, like 250 grand, 300,000 a month. Now, Carolla hosts The Car Show on the Speed Television Network. So GLAAD could go over there and pressure them to drop that show, and they could. And you want to know something? It's probably a drop in the bucket of what his potential earnings are. Now, these are anti-gay comments made last week, perceived anti-gay comments by Adam Carolla on his podcast, The Adam Carolla Show, prompted GLAAD to speak out against the radio host. He's not a radio host, you moron. He's not a radio host, okay? He hasn't done a radio show in I don't know how long. The guy, he's a former radio host. The guy's doing a podcast now. They accuse him of gross intolerance. The former Loveline co-host uncorked some unkind comments about the lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender community. Asked, when did we start giving a quote about transgender people? He also mocked Chaz Bono and other members of the LGBT community that are interested in gender reassignment surgery. These are questions that are asked every single day on radio shows all over America, including ours. Exactly. It's not so much when did we start giving a crap. It's how are we supposed to navigate and negotiate our way through this new area of life? It's a very difficult question to answer. Where do I begin here? Somebody who claims to be presenting as something, for instance, not actually the gender, but they're presenting as a gender. Someone who may present as a certain person, but they want to use the restroom of another person. Do you understand that these are questions? These are very difficult things to consider. Do you mind if people get up to speed in this stuff? The gay and lesbian, and I'm telling you that we are at a point now where some of the questions are getting to be ridiculous, and we're reaching this area of, wow, is it okay for me to say this is really weird? You know, is it all right for me to say that this is, what are you again? I'm a woman. You're presenting as a woman. Yes, I'm presenting as a woman. Okay, but you have a man's genitalia. So, okay. And you want to use the women's bath? No, I want to use the man's bathroom. But you're presenting as a woman. Yes. Okay. And are you, I'm a man. You're a man. But I'm having a baby. But you're having a baby. So I'm presenting as a man, though. So you're a man, and you present as a man, and you want to be a man. I am a man. But you are having a baby. I'm having a baby, and I want to use the woman's bathroom. Now, maybe we can have a class in school. Maybe we can have mandatory classes in school. Maybe we can just slow this stuff down a little bit and get everybody up to speed. Maybe we could be sensitive to, for the first time, turn the tables a bit and stare back at the straight community and say, you know what, we're going a little fast. Maybe we need to educate better. Maybe we need to sit down and not just point fingers. Because what's happening here, this is a reaction. This is a, I don't want to call it a backlash, because backlash sounds very, you know, that sounds pretty tough and insensitive. And I don't think there's been any insensitivity here. I think that what there's been is a lot of sensitivity, a lot of people pushing and trying to see and do the right thing. But what Adam Carolla's saying here is, whoa, 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 whoa! Whoa, man! Do you mind? Not every place is Los Angeles or San Francisco or New York, you know? There's Omaha, Nebraska, and there's Ogallala, Nebraska, and there's Walcott, Iowa, and there's Baton Rouge, Louisiana. There's a lot of places in America that are not part of the cutting gay edge of society, where people are going to need to be brought up to speed on some of this stuff. Is that so terrible, you know? But you guys at GLAAD and other hyper-activist people, like Doug Danger, our friend at the Orange County Courier, I mean, you guys don't want to slow down one bit, man. You, 1 minute. You want to turn the whole thing into a have to, got to have it right now, now. And I understand that there's been an awful lot of suffering, and there's been an awful lot of intolerance and bigotry and discrimination, and the lives of so many people have been destroyed. I get it. Believe me, I do. You have to have some compassion here for those of us who are well-meaning, but at the same time, not too swift. The Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation reports on the incident in a press release, writing in his rant, he also told LGBT people to shut up because they're, quote, ruining his life by speaking out about equality. He went on to say that members of the LGBT community should stop using the letters LGBT to describe themselves and should instead use YUCK. Carolla has apologized, quote, kinda, end quote. That's the way Gonzalez puts it. He told Entertainment Weekly via his rep and later posted on his Twitter, I'm sorry my comments were hurtful. I'm a comedian, not a politician. This isn't the first time Carolla has offended. On a 2009 broadcast on Loveline, he said that all things being equal, gay parents are not as good as straight parents. So what now? Well, GLAAD isn't ready to let this one slide. Given his history of anti-gay and racist comments, networks and advertisers should know what their money is supporting. What networks? Boy, you guys, you're so knee-jerk with what's going on with Adam Carolla and everybody else. You guys are, you're in the dust on all this stuff. What network? Networks and advertisers. He ain't got any network. He's got a podcast, and he's got a stand-up show, and he's got a show on Speed. Okay? You want to go over to Speed and say, hey, this guy's anti-gay. You know, I would, personally, if it ever came to a lawsuit, and any of these people's lawyers wanted to depose me or anybody like me in the entertainment business to describe or to otherwise comment on what it is to do entertainment and do satirical entertainment, I'd be happy to do it because, you know, we have to start speaking out a little bit about this stuff, you know, and we have to say that these are legitimate questions that are being asked in the culture at large. And the questions are these. When he says Y-U-C-K as in yuck, what he's talking about are the situations we're presented with where a teacher who is a man wants to dress as a woman. He's having hormone or some kind of hormone treatment so as to enhance his breasts, but he wants to keep his male genitalia, but he wants to continue to present as a woman, but he wants to... and he wants to stand in front of a classroom of children. Not a problem if you can give me some guidance here and tell me, how am I supposed to deal with this? Well, we're not given that from the LGBT community. What we're given is a lot of finger wagging and this kind of dictatorial, you better get up to speed and get with it, okay? We got rights, and not an ounce of sensitivity coming from them on, well, exactly how are we supposed to deal with all of this stuff? It's pretty complicated. Nobody ever said that we wanted to be a bunch of bigots. All we're trying to do is figure out, how do we explain this to a kid? How do I explain it to myself? How do I explain it? I don't even understand it. You know, so I think these are all very legitimate comments, and the culture and the country is wrestling with it. America has always been a country that automatically, if somebody says, I have rights that are being trampled on, our country has always, immediately, I'm not saying that we have solved the problem, but we have always immediately turned toward that situation and addressed it in violent ways, in the legal arena, in social settings. Yeah, we've wrestled with it, we've struggled with it, we've done battle in the streets over it, but sooner or later we move forward in trying to solve the problems. We have never avoided it, ever. We're not avoiding this. All we're asking is there some way that we can talk about this stuff so it starts to make a little bit of sense? Because to be honest with you, man, I don't know anything about it. I was born in this body, I'm a guy, and I feel like a man, and I like being a man. I'm also straight. So I guess that makes me what? Does that make me a jackass?
Yeah, pretty much.
All right. But I'm not saying I'm better than anybody. And if somebody was born some other way, I want to know about it, and I want them to have full equality. Honest to God, I do. But I don't want them shoving it in my kisser and saying, and you better get up to speed right now about this stuff, and you better have this and this and this and this and this and this, and I can't even make a joke about it? And let me tell you something. I don't know whether you know this or not, but a guy in a woman's dress is still funny. A cat wearing a woman's dress and makeup is funny. It's part of... It's still a staple of comedy. Still a staple of comedy. Maybe someday it won't be. And maybe we'll look back on these days and say, boy, that was so bigoted of us to laugh at men who wore dresses. But now, the way we are now, and I wish we were better, but we're not, it's funny. All right, back with our news and comment hour with Bud and Robert here on the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Phil Hendry. Broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
Hey, it's world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. And where truth is our bitch, we welcome you back to the program. And our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. You can also go to philhendryshow.com and get thousands of hours of downloadable shows. And I mean shows that go back many, many years and many different generations of the Phil Hendry Show. We have the largest repository of any radio show in the world. Ours, the Phil Hendry Show. We're kind of the, I don't know, we're an example to other radio shows, if they choose to follow, on how to archive your material, how to protect your material. We also have a video cast. We're doing it right now. It's a live video cast. And behind me, as a matter of fact, on our green screen, or if you choose to believe, I'm at the Nuremberg Rally of 1937.
Yeah, there's a bunch of Nazis and stuff. What is that?
The Nuremberg Rally of 1937. What the hell do you want from me? I wanted to put something, you know, I'm here. I go everywhere, baby. I go everywhere. I do anything, man. You know.
With all them Nazis and stuff, and they all got tanks.
That's right. The Nazis had tanks. There we are. So if you tune in.
Looks weird.
It sure does look weird. It sure does look weird, brother. So there we are at the Nuremberg Rally. What do you want? If you don't like that background, why, we can then magically transport ourselves to, where are we now, bud? You got it. D-Day. Ow!
Man, look at that.
Here's D-Day. So we're going to have these cannons going off and guys storming the beach all for the whole quarter hour. Anyway, welcome back to our show. And again, you can go to our website, philhendryshow.com, get a backstage pass, and enjoy what you got there. Here's a story. I don't know if this is the one, Chase, that you wanted me to do. I think it's interesting. It's from the Star and the Atlantic and Time magazine. It says here in Virginia, a Virginia school district has banned a book on the legendary sleuther, that is, Sherlock Holmes. They've banned a book on Sherlock Holmes for its anti-Mormon themes. Last week, the Albemarle County School Board removed Sir Arthur Conan Doyle's first Sherlock Holmes novel, A Study in Scarlet, from its sixth grade reading list. Several former middle school students opposed the removal of the Victorian-era text, one calling it the best book I've ever read so far. I never did like those Mormons, and now I know why. No, he didn't say that.
That's a little tiny kid.
The kid didn't say that. I'm joking. But the kid, you know, wanted to read about the... He said it's the best book that he ever has done read. Back in May, Brett Stevenson... You know, let me tell you where all of this is going. If we keep acting like a bunch of imbeciles, why don't we just ban corn dogs because it can make a good woman like Michelle Bachmann look like she's doing a slide job?
Yeah, she's deep-sixing it.
Yeah.
Exactly. If that's how ridiculous we want to be, I don't know. These books need to be taken. I thought we already talked about this. They have to be taken in the context of the thing, of the time, of the...
Of the thing.
And you can't just jump all over these things and say, oh, no, oh, gosh, oh, goodness gracious, how terrible, how bad. You got to get with it, baby. You have to know, the time and the place and what was intended by the author at that time. Back in May, Brett Stevenson, a parent... Oh, God, here we go. Brett Stevenson, a parent of a Henley Middle School student, complained that the story painted a poor derogatory picture of Mormons. A Study in Scarlet has been used to introduce students to a mystery genre, Brett Stevenson said, adding, this is our young students' first and accurate introduction to an American religion. Last Thursday, the school board agreed with the complaint and voted for the story's removal. It will, however, remain a part of the high school curriculum. Sherlock Holmes and Dr. John Watson made their first appearance in the book A Study in Scarlet, a short novel published in 1887. The problematic themes revolved around a long flashback set in 1847, Utah. A large group of Mormons, led by Brigham Young himself, are depicted as raw crackpots. Their religion is primitive and vindictive, according to critic Richard Corliss. The group discovers a man and child on the brink of death by dehydration and offer to help them so long as they adopt the Mormon faith. Doyle defended his portrayal of the LDS as having been drawn from contemporary history books. In time, he did apologize, and later in life, he appeared in Salt Lake City to proselytize for his own controversial belief in spiritualism. This is Arthur Conan Doyle, so it's very interesting during his times, the contemporary times that he lived in, after he wrote this book that was some thought was painted a bad picture of Mormonism. He went and he apologized, and he spoke in Mormon land.
What do you mean Mormon land?
I mean, Salt Lake City. Back then they called it Mormon Town.
They did?
I don't know.
Bet you they did.
Probably.
Probably call it, you gotta go to Mormon Town. Better call it Salt Lake City in the future because they won't like it.
Why do you think they call it Mormon Town? Just to be offensive to them.
I don't know. It just sounds bitching.
Yeah, we gotta go to Mormon Town. In the future we'll call it Salt Lake City, but for now... Anyway, board chair Steve Colazar told The Star, the local paper Monday, that there are better books by Sherlock Holmes, ones that make better use of deductive reasoning. Oh, is that right? And who are you, Steve Colazar? Steve Coldsore, as they call you. I bet you if Arthur Conan Doyle was around, he'd say, I beg your pardon, sir. I beg your pardon.
Well, I just don't think...
Excuse me. I know exactly what I wrote in that book. Exactly what I meant by the deductive reasoning, whatnot, and so on and so forth. How dare you tell me, Arthur Conan Doyle?
Well, I think that the book is good. You know,
oh, do you now? Well, isn't that just grand? Ellie, thank you. You hillbilly. Anyway, board chair Steve Colazar told The Star that there are better books by Sherlock Holmes, ones that make better use of deductive reasoning for the grade 6 than Scarlet. Part of the book that deals with Mormonism may or may not be historically accurate and reflects the biases of the writer. Well, of course it does, because that's what books do. That's what books do. Not everyone was happy about the removal of the book from the sixth grade reading list. Of the more than 20 former Henley students turned out to oppose the book's removal from the list was ninth grader Quinn Legallo Malone. He spoke during public comment to oppose removal of the book and called the work the best book I've read so far. I was capable of reading it in sixth grade. I think it was a good challenge. I'm upset that they are removing it. I never did like those Mormons and never will. He didn't say that.
Yeah, he probably did. Probably wait for him to say it.
Yeah, what if he said that? Let's say it. See? Make a kid. You don't like that Mormon.
I don't know, man. The parent who led the censorship challenge, on the other hand, was pleased. I think the process worked, she said to the Daily Progress. We wonder what Holmes would have made of this. We wonder what Holmes would have made of this. The Abramel board turns down parents' requests to remove books they find objectionable more often than it approves of them. All right, so there you have it. And the high school students can still read it. What do you think of these things? What do you think about books that were written in the olden times and have these views, however backward? You know,
I don't know. I think like that one book you were telling me about, Huckleberry Finn.
Yeah, that book had the N-word and everything.
Yeah.
I don't know, man. I mean, I heard a lot of black people don't think it should have been banned.
Yeah. See, why don't black people want it banned even though they say N?
I don't know. Because it's smart, you know, it's written by a great man.
Well, it was written by Mark Twain.
What's great about him?
He was a great writer. He's a great American writer. He's one of our great American writers. And Mark Twain was writing in the context of the times. Mark Twain was not an ignorant man. He wasn't an idiot. Mark Twain was a commentator. Mark Twain was a humorist. He was one of our great social and contemporary commentators. Were Mark Twain alive today, I was going to say he'd have a talk show. No, he wouldn't. He would be too good for that. If Mark Twain were alive today and were given a talk show, he'd be fired in a week. No, Mark Twain would probably be he'd probably be on Fox or on CNN or one of these things, you know. He'd be a contributor, you know.
Yeah, he'd probably be a Fox News contributor and stuff.
Yeah. All right, so that's that story, man. So we're going to find out, whether or not Sherlock Holmes, man, is going to survive. And I'll tell you, I don't know. I just don't know, you know. I mean, I think it's better to keep the book there and to explain to the kids, this is the way people thought back then. And isn't this an interesting picture that they're painting? And what does it tell us about Arthur Conan Doyle that he says these things? And what does it tell us about Mark Twain's time that he uses a word like that? And what do you think? This is what you do with kids. You say, well, we're going to read a book. And the book is going to have some, it's going to paint picture. It's going to paint a picture of America or of the world at that time. And let's talk about it. And let's talk about the people. Why can't we do that? Why is everything ban, 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 ban? I'm telling you, when the day comes, man, when parents get smarter, it seems like every generation of parent is just as dumb as the one ahead of it. All right, we're going to come back here on the Phil Henry Show. Our number, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. Things you didn't know hackers could hack, including your medical implants and your car. Plus, did Butch Cassidy survive that Bolivian shootout? Well, we'll find out. We'll find out why we are even asking that question. I don't think we're going to find out if he did. I could probably tell you no, he didn't, but we'll be back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show.
We can't fight this fight alone. Give us a call. 877-876-PHIL. That's 877-876-7445. Radio for Patriots, by Patriots. Man. It's the Phil Henry Show.
All right, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Henry Show. On our video cast tonight, we have been featuring prominently the corndog photos. You know.
I know Mr. Hall is going to call.
Yeah, let him call. I mean, what do you want me to do, man? It's a news story, okay?
I'm just telling you.
All right. We do have the corndog photos, and we always will have the corndog photos, and nothing. What am I? I don't know what I'm supposed to do. Five things you probably... By the way, I was talking to Rance and to Bud and Robert. I don't know how we got on it, but we were talking a little bit about the high school and the things we had to read. You remember the books and the stories that you had to read in high school, the reading list and the these different we had to read Stranger in a Strange Land. We had to read Moby Dick. We had to read David Copperfield. Jason said that they had to read a book called The Giver, which I'd never heard of, and it was a profound story for his generation because it involved the death of an infant at the end of the story. And I said to him, it doesn't remind me entirely of Ray Bradbury, but I read a story by Ray Bradbury when I was in high school because we had to also read Ray Bradbury. We had to read Fahrenheit 451. We had to read The Martian Chronicles, and I forget which other one. And today I'm sure the reading lists are much, much different, although I wonder if the same basic classics are on the reading. You know, Moby Dick is a huge... Herman Melville was our first great American author. Before Herman Melville, and really before Walt Whitman, I wonder if the rest of the world looked at America as just this savage, barbarian bunch of ignoramuses sitting around and skinning raccoons, you know, and putting on funny hats. But once we produced a Herman Melville, once we produced a Whitman, once we produced an Edgar Allan Poe, the world said, these Yanks have got some talent when it comes to the world of literature. In this book, The Giver, in a world with no poverty, no crime, no sickness, no unemployment, and where every family is happy, 12-year-old Jonas is chosen to be the community's receiver of memories. Under the tutelage of the elders and an old man known as The Giver, he discovers the disturbing truth about his utopian world and struggles against the weight of its hypocrisy. With echoes of Brave New World and this 1994 Newbery Medal winner, Lowry examines the idea that people might freely choose to give up their humanity in order to create a more stable society. That's kind of like The Lottery by Shirley Jackson, which we had to read. And that's about a town. It's similar to that, you know?
I don't understand about The Lottery or any of the other book. You said you're going to talk about A Baby Gun Kill.
I'll talk about it in a minute, okay?
Yeah, but you did say that.
Yeah, I'll talk about it in a minute. I got another story I got to do here.
You said you did talk about Baby What Kill.
Hey, bud, you sound like you're like, you got something wrong with you now.
You did about David good kill.
Well, you did.
Okay, and I will. If you keep talking about it, maybe I won't.
Shut up, man.
All right, but you did say he's going to talk about Baby.
Hey, bud, I'm telling you. So anyway, that's an interesting book. So this is a utopian society where a 12-year-old is chosen to be the community's receiver of memories, and then he finds out the horrible truth about the society. It's utopian. There's no unemployment. There's no sickness. Everybody's happy. But there's like this big thing you have to give up, right? That's always like at the heart of all of these fantasy novels or perhaps science fiction novels or these futuristic novels. There's a society that everything is cool, but there's this really bad thing that has to happen in order for everything to be cool. And I was just like that book, the short story we had to read, which was the Lottery, Shirley Jackson's great story about this town that once a year has the lottery. And it's a festive day, and there's all kinds of festivities going on, and the people bring to town their crops and their pumpkins. And it's like a state fair or something, you know. And they're going and they're getting themselves some whatever the hell candied apples, and they're having contests and three-legged sack race, this, that. But at the end comes the lottery, and you pull a number. And if you pull the number, if you pull, I guess, the winning number, you win the lottery. But you know what you win? You're stoned to death by the rest of the people in the town.
What?
It's like they do it in a Muslim town.
Like they do it in some of those Sharia law places. Yeah, yeah.
Why?
It's just the way it is in this book, bud. I don't know why. But in other words, what the author, what Shirley Jackson was saying, and what this author of The Giver is saying is, you know, well, if you want to have stability and you want to have peace and you want to have comfort and you want to have a society that's, you know, what are you willing to do? What are you willing to give up?
Yeah, but you know something, man? I think that bull, how come it has to come down to that? I don't think it had to come down to that, you know?
Well, I don't either, you know? I don't either. I don't think you have to give up. I don't think it has to, and that's a very typically sort of Western way of viewing things. We always say, well, in order for to have this much, something over here must be lost. And I don't know why, because we are happy, it must automatically mean that somebody, someplace, somehow is being degraded or is starving. I just don't believe it, and I don't think that it's I don't think that's the way that it has to be. However, that was that book. And then I was going to tell you about that baby, right?
Yeah, talk about the baby. You said there's a baby that killed everybody?
A baby that killed everybody? No. It was a book by what's his name? Ray Bradbury. Now, in the book, Ray Bradbury, what?
Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall, huh? Yeah, David.
I got to ask you something. I just, you know, because you're coming on here with all kinds of books about kids that are being killed. Were you talking about guys that wear dresses?
Yes, I was. I was talking about the LGBT or...
Yeah, what is it with you? You're coming on here, you're talking about how, you know, we got to get up to speed with a guy that wears a dress. Now, you know that we're in contact with the LGBT community. You know that we're trying as best as we can to make sure that they're friends of the show and that we are going to get advertisers and we're going to have a very good relationship with them. Then you come on and you say some guy wearing a dress is funny looking. And which bathrooms he going to use? And, oh, yeah, he's got big boobs. And
I never said anything of the sort. I said it. I didn't say he's got, oh, yeah, big boobs.
That's what Bud said.
Oh, here we go again with you, Bud.
Well, I'm sounding like it.
And the other thing, what do you mean you're going to talk about a baby that kills everyone?
Wait a second. Wait a minute.
I didn't say that. He heard that.
Hold on. The baby doesn't kill everyone, okay?
All I heard was that Rance read a book when he was in high school about some kid that dies, some baby that gets slaughtered, right?
No, not a baby that gets slaughtered. It was a book that he read in high school. Let's forget about that for a minute, okay? That's what got me to thinking about this Bradbury.
Yeah, you're talking about Ray Bradbury.
Right.
All right, and then you said you're going to talk about a book where a baby starts to kill? What are you? Are you out of your mind? What I'm trying to do here, I'm trying to develop a base of advertisers, starting with the LGBT community, where we can have ads on for clubs and cruises that will take guys who want to be women. And
oh, that's great, and that's going to be on my show, huh?
Don't be a bigot. Don't be a bigot. Now, the other thing is...
What has that got to do with me talking about Ray Bradbury?
Well, you're talking about some baby that slaughters everyone alive.
When did you get this slaughters everyone alive? You know, we've gone from me talking about a story where there's a baby that kills people to a baby that kills everyone to a baby that slaughters everybody alive. And meanwhile, you got me with, I got LGBT ads on the show now for cruises?
I'm asking what you're planning on doing on the show, Phil, so I'm not caught blindsided if we get these people as advertisers. That's all. And I heard you on the air, and you were talking about how funny it is to look at some guy in a dress and go, ha, 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 it's a guy in a dress and he still has a penis. Ha, ha, ha. Well, what if we had a cruise, an LGBT cruise to, let's say, Mexico? You would host a dance, and it...
Wait a minute, man.
Ha, 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 you're going to dance,
Shut up. Wait a second.
What, are you a bigot?
No, I'm not a bigot. Why don't you let me know about these things? This is what I'm talking about. Okay? Let me know. Get me up to speed on this stuff.
Oh, well, excuse me. I didn't know that we had to work you into it.
I'm just saying, I think it's something that, you know, I would appreciate, so I know which way we're going with our advertising.
I didn't know that we had to, you know, send you for therapy. I didn't know that we had to, you know, orient you. I thought maybe it'd be something you'd like to do. And now you, instead, you want to talk about a baby that, what, slaughters the parent? What did it do? It gutted them? Hung them upside down and bled them?
Yeah, get out of here.
We'll find out.
I'll tell you about it later. Phil Henry Show.
A baby gutted its own parents.
For Patriots, by Patriots. It's the Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL. Marilyn, go ahead.
Hello, Phil.
Marilyn Donnelly, right?
Yes, Phil. Marilyn Donnelly with Adam and Eve.
With Adam and Eve is the name of the organization I want people to know. How are you tonight?
Well, I'm doing very well. I heard your program, and I wanted you to know that we're having our first LGBT cotillion at the El Segundo Armory. On Friday night.
This is an LGBT. Now, to let people know, Marilyn, you are transgender?
I'm pre-surgical. I'm I present as a woman, but I am pre-surgical.
You're pre-surgical, but you present as a woman. Are you planning on having the surgery?
I don't know just yet. Most likely I will. I'm weighing my options, but I'm enjoying life very much right now.
So it's good to have you with us. So you're having a LGBT cotillion. Can you tell us...
Yes. Well, I gave a little bit of the information to Mr. Dickman when I called. We're going to have LGBT, representative of the LGBT community. LGBT people will be there and invited, members of our community. These are lesbian, gay, bisexual, and transgender people. It's going to be a cotillion, which is a very fairly formal dance, and we're inviting all of the prominent members of the LGBT community, but we also would like to invite certain select members of the straight community, and we wanted you to be there if you wanted to introduce a dance or something.
Well, I would be very, very honored. I appreciate that very much, Marilyn.
One of the things that we're going to do this year, Phil, to give us all an equal footing, if you will, because I was very mindful of what you had said on your program earlier, talking about how difficult it is, I think, for people to navigate their way in this modern world of sexuality.
I think it's just, you know, it would help. And I don't know if you heard the trouble that, not trouble, but what Adam Carolla was up against.
No, I totally understand. And I think that Adam Carolla, I think, reflects and echoes the confusion that you did. In our cotillion, we're having, as I mentioned, LGBT representatives, lesbians, gays, bisexuals, and transgender, but everyone will be wearing a dress. And so that gives, I think, some equal footing.
Everyone is wearing a dress at this dance?
At our cotillion on Friday night, yes.
All right. Well, everyone's wearing a dress. I mean, there's going to be men there.
Well, there are going to be men there. There are, first of all, the lesbians are women. Gay are gay men, but then bisexual and LGBT, lesbian, gay, bisexual, transgender. Most of the people there are transgender, bisexual, lesbian. Will be wearing dresses because they are presenting as women. The transgender, a great many of them are men who are presenting as women. Men who are presenting, I should say women who are presenting as men, but want to be women. But they're wearing a dress. And so
they're presenting as men, but they want to be women, and they're wearing a dress.
What they're doing, I know it's very difficult.
Yeah.
So stay with me here for a minute. We have our lesbian, our gay, our bisexual, and transgender, our women who are presenting as men but want to be women, want to remain women.
And they're women presenting as men but want to remain women physically.
Want to retain their female anatomy, yes, but they are presenting as men. But on this night, we're going to ask them to wear a dress.
So you're going to have women wearing a dress. Excuse me. It sounds to me like you're having women wearing a dress.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. We're having men wearing dresses. These are women presenting as men. They're transgender. All right?
Yes. They're women presenting as men. Hold on for a minute. Excuse me. I've got a... I've been battling an allergy and tail end of a bronchitis.
That's all right. Do you need some more time?
No, I'm fine.
What we're doing is we are having our LGBT dance. Now, the transgender are, many of them are men presenting as women who want to be women, but are men. They are going to present as men on that night, but they'll wear a dress. We want everyone wearing a dress. That is the most important part of the dance.
Everyone's going to be wearing a dress.
Yes.
Everyone at this dance, including the men, which meaning the gay men and the bisexual men and the transgender men, but I guess that's...
You're getting a little hasty. When you say transgender men, what do you mean?
I don't know what I mean. I don't know what I mean. I apologize. I don't know what I mean. Because I'm hearing you say men who are presenting as...
When you say transgender men, we have women who are presenting as men... who are wearing a dress. Do you understand what I mean? That will be, and then we will have, these are women presenting as men who will be in a dress. And then we will have men who are presenting as women. All right? And they're wearing a dress. But they're men.
No, I don't.
No, you don't what? Wear a dress?
No, I don't understand.
What don't you understand? We have...
You got women that are presenting as men... but are women, and they're wearing a dress.
Yeah, I understand it. Me too.
You see, even these idiots understand. You don't?
No, I don't understand. How can you be a woman presenting as a man, but you're still wearing a dress?
Oh, I see what you're saying.
Yeah.
Well, the women that are presenting as men, but are women and are wearing a dress, they'll look very slovenly. They'll look like a man. They'll try to look more like a man. They'll be dirty and they'll stink. But they are women, and they will be in a dress.
So any woman that stinks and is dirty in a dress is what?
Is a transgender woman presenting as a man but wearing a dress.
And what about the men that are presenting as women and are also wearing a dress?
They'll look like women.
Real sweet-smelling women?
Yes.
Okay.
What's the problem?
No problem. Okay, so what about the lesbian women?
What about them?
Well, are they presenting? Well, they are women.
They are women, and they will be wearing a dress.
Will they smell good?
Do lesbians ever smell good?
Yes.
Okay, I don't know where you've been.
Will you get her out of here?
What?
Talking to that idiot? I don't understand anything she's saying. You know?
Well, you say she, but she's presenting as a man.
You shut up and get out of here. She's presenting as a man. I didn't understand a word that woman was saying. First of all, she says that the guy who is presenting as a woman, and he really is a woman, but it's a man, and those will be women that smell bad. And do lesbians ever smell good?
I don't know.
All right, guys. 877-876-PHIL. Five things you probably didn't... The next time you are going to put her on the air, let me know in advance, well in advance, if you don't mind.
All right.
Hackers are making headlines these days like never before, from video game systems to... Wait a minute. If a woman presents... Anyway.
If a woman presents a man, that's going to be a man.
But she smells bad.
I'm sorry I asked. Hackers are making headlines these days like never before, from video game systems to voicemail accounts. It seems like almost every type of electronic device or information storage medium can be hacked to either give up information or perform actions it wasn't initially designed to do. Yahoo Tech gathered a handful of the weirdest hacks out there, and the vulnerability of some of your everyday devices might surprise you. Dig this. Medical implants. These can be hacked. High-tech medical devices like pacemakers and insulin pumps can save lives, but hackers can actually utilize their built-in wireless feature for less helpful purposes, like allowing a hacker to turn off the pacemaker completely or deliver a shock to the heart, which would cause ventricular fibrillation and thereby a cardiac arrest. Now, how in God's name can you stop that from happening, number one? And number two, who are the people that would do this? Researchers have demonstrated that certain pacemakers that use a wireless signal for easy tweaking are vulnerable to anyone with the correct reprogramming hardware. Doctors use these wireless programming devices to make subtle adjustments to the heart helpers without the need for further surgeries. Unfortunately, the signal they use is unencrypted, meaning that anyone who finds a way to obtain such a device could literally manipulate the heart of a patient, causing cardiac arrest or even death. Now, I asked a question. I can answer my own question. Who would do this? Anybody that would want to do harm to an individual, maybe a contract killer, a psychopath, somebody who just wants to see what it's like to do things. I mean, we don't know, folks. Insulin pumps are apparently even more susceptible to outside interference. And at the recent Black Hat Hacker Conference in Las Vegas, the life-saving pumps were shown to be vulnerable from distances of up to one half of a mile.
What? If you do an insulin pump?
Do you even know what one is?
Yeah. Well, no, but...
That's a long way, I know that.
It is a long way. A half a mile. Using power radio antennas, hackers can hijack a pump's wireless signal and cause it to give a blast of insulin to a wearer with potentially deadly results. Wow. Number two, here's an item that you could probably, you could have guessed can be hacked. Baby monitors. Baby monitors. These are, you know, the things you can hear a baby sleeping. You can hear the baby in a different room. I didn't know that this was a computer. This is just a radio signal is what it is. It's like a walkie-talkie. So when you talk about hacking, you're mostly talking about just hijacking the signal. Having a constant ear and eye on your baby's crib is something that most parents take for granted. Baby monitors have been around for a long time. And in recent years, video equipped versions have become very popular with new parents. What most users probably don't realize is that the dozen or so wireless channels that these helpful devices can use can often be picked up outside the home, giving anyone with a similar device or wireless receiver an undetectable window into your home. The vulnerability of such monitor systems was highlighted in 2009 when an Illinois family sued the manufacturer of a baby monitor system that they purchased at Toys R Us. After using it, why would you buy a baby monitor system at Toys R Us?
On account it's a baby.
Yeah, stuff would a baby want.
This isn't about it. It's not a toy. It's not something for the baby.
What do you mean?
What I mean is it's not something for the baby to play with. It is a piece of equipment that the parents use to ensure the safety of a child. Why would you buy it at Toys R Us?
Maybe they would sell it there.
Well, there's a good answer. Maybe they were selling it there. I don't know. Maybe it's a good place to sell these kinds of things because parents that go into Toys R Us are often buying things for children and have their children uppermost in their minds. After using the system for months, a neighbor who had recently purchased a similar system alerted them that their monitor's camera was broadcasting a signal strong enough to be picked up in the neighboring house. The camera's microphone was so sensitive that the unsuspecting neighbors were able to hear entire conversations happening outside of the nursery where it was placed. Imagine the good neighbors that they were, that they came and they said, hey, we want to tell you. You know, how often does that happen?
I don't know. That seems like a stupid thing to do. You could record it and write a book and everything.
That's what you do, bud, yeah.
Well, what's wrong with that?
Did you ever heard about being a good neighbor and everything like Phil was saying?
We didn't be a good neighbor. All I want to do is listen in for juicy stuff and see whether or not she's talking about sex.
Will you shut up, okay? I get it already. You and your stupid ideas.
I could have wrote a book.
Yeah, if you could write.
If you could write. Man, that's a good one. Man, he smoked you, man. Man,
oh, shut up.
Come on, come on, come on. All right. Newer baby monitor models feature frequency hopping technology that changes channels randomly to ensure privacy, but older, less secure versions can still be found on store shelves. Check the feature list on the side of the box when considering a monitor system. All right. Talking about hacking, things you can hijack, things that people from the outside can get to, a baby monitor system, a medical implants. Yes, I said medical implants. Now automobiles, you know that. Breaking into cars by smashing a window or picking a lock is so, quote, 90s. These days, security experts are worried about much more tech-savvy car thieves who can unlock your car, even start it simply by shooting it a text message or two. Many automotive systems, such as OnStar, utilize the same type of cellular technology as a common cell phone. Demonstrating the hack, once again, at the Black Hat Convention. This story, I guess, was somebody got this story because the Black Hat Convention was happening. So, you know.
Probably said, hey, what story can I write? Write about hackers.
Anyway, we're going to take a break here. The rest of these are fairly, the human brain can be hacked into. Oh, I got to read that when we get back. And garage door openers. Well, no kidding. None of this is really all that shocking. Anybody that has tried to find their car in a parking lot and continually was pushing the little button that helps the lights go on in your car and makes it go honk, honk. Right. Anyone who's looked for their car in a parking lot and has pushed that button only to hear other cars honk and other cars' lights go on, I think it's fairly clear that these little radio signals and things that we use to find things that we own also, you know, track to other people's stuff. All right, we're going to be back here with more on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. 877-876-PHIL, more of this this hacker jazz. Don't forget our website, philhenryshow.com. Our look-alike contest on our website. Go over and send us a picture at Phil Henry, Real Phil Henry at Twitter. That's the twitter.com/RealPhilHenry. Send us a look-alike picture, and we'll post it on our website, and then maybe you win, you know. We'll be back. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show. Radio for patriots by patriots. It's the Phil Henry Show.
It's nuts.
Well, I went from, on our Phil TV and HD, we had footage of Tarawa, which is a battle fought in World War II in the South Pacific by the U.S. Marines against Japanese, and it's quite a dramatic battle. And then as we faded from that, as we came back live on the show, to a still of Marcus Bachmann sucking a corn dog, you know.
Well, he's not sucking it.
All right, okay. I mean, eating a corn dog. It had kind of a, you know.
Kind of, the air fell out of it.
Yeah, the air kind of just went right out of that one. But anyway, 877-876-PHIL. So where were we? All right, we're here now talking about stuff that could get hacked into. Now, you got to remember, if you own any of these things, they are susceptible to being hacked. And how do we know? Because there was a hackers convention in Las Vegas called the Black Hat Hackers Convention. And whether hackers attend this convention or people that want to be alerted to what hackers know, I don't know. I do know that recently, who was hacked? This past weekend, someone who was pissed off about cell phones. Did you see it, Jason, the news? There was a hacker attack on some agency this past weekend. And one of the things that has to be done, I think, to secure our, you know, infrastructure as law-abiding citizens. Oh, BART in San Francisco. Because BART did not allow cell phones, they decided to attack BART. And this is a, you know, group of hackers. You want to know how lawless people are. I mean, take a look. This is the Wild West. We are now back in the Wild West. You know, this is the 19th century revisited, where there are no rules. There is a large expanse of territory, of space, and there's no lawman out there yet. There's no sheriff out there. So there's people trying to carve out their little world, and they're being assaulted. They're being stolen from. They're being muscled by bigger entities who say that they're going to control this and they're going to control that. Everybody thinks they're right. And there's no law and there's no order. So it's the Wild West. It's called the Internet. Since Thursday, when BART temporarily shut down cell phone service in its tunnels to prevent a protest against police violence, the group Anonymous has gone on the offensive. It hacked into mybart.org, a website for BART riders, and leaked the names, phone numbers, and passwords of users. How about that? Now, BART temporarily shut down cell phone service in its tunnels to prevent a protest against police violence. What has BART got to do with any of that? What do you have to do with shutting down protests against whatever, BART? This is what I'm disturbed with and disturbed by. All right, moving on to our hacker protests. Not hacker protests. Moving on to things that can be hacked. Automobiles is number three on this list here. Breaking into cars by smashing windows or picking a lock is so 90s. These days, you can do it much easier. Demonstrating the hack at the Black Hat Convention, security expert Don Bailey and Matthew Solnick explained how vulnerable new vehicles are to such manipulation, leaving out the details as to how the hack works. He is a security consultant, after all. Mr. Bailey noted that the same hack could potentially affect infrastructure like power grids and traffic systems. But all is not lost. With just a few changes, car makers could close the door on hackers, though it won't be cheap. So you can hack into an automobile, start it, open it up, get in it, drive it away, because of these wireless features that allow you to access the operation of the motor vehicle by way of some wireless communication. You know, like I said, that's why I don't like any of that USB crap, man, you know.
Man, you are so, like, out of... You don't have no USB mouse or nothing.
I don't want any US... Anything that's, you know, the mouse that I use, I want a wire on that thing. That's all there is to it. All right, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show is produced by Jason Rance. Technical director is Dan Northcraft, and our associate producers, Fred Scotty and Chris Johnson. Don't forget our website, philhendryshow.com, for all your Phil Hendry needs. Check out our merchandise store as well. Our shot glass, our ball... Well, we're going to have ball caps, our T-shirt, our coffee mug, our legacy CDs, and, of course, our Phil lookalike contest, which we'd like you to access by going to Twitter, our Twitter account, and giving us a picture of yourself that looks like Phil. I mean, I hope that's painless, but probably not. We'll see you tonight.
Phil Hendry.
Roger.